Okay, we're beginning here on the Mishnah on top of Chav Bet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Ga ha-meduvlelet, which the Gemara will define later what meduvlelet is, v'shitilata miruba mi-chamata, and a sukkah whose shade exceeds that of its sunlight, k'shera. Those are good sukkot. Ha-meuveh can mean bait, if the schach on top is so thick that it's almost similar to a house, afal pi she'en ha-kochavim nirim mitocha, k'shera. Even if you cannot see the stars inside, it is a good sukkah. So the chatchilo, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that it's nice to be able to see the stars. It's certainly not tmi'a cave, as you can see here in the Mishnah, that it's k'shera. When it gets too thick that water cannot get through, there are poskim that won't allow that because then they say it's gzera tikra and that it looks too much like a bayit. But if you can't see the stars, you're fine, as long as it's not so thick that you can't have water coming through the schach. So, my meduvlalet. What is this case of meduvlalet? Amarav, sukkah aniyah, it's a poor sukkah. Shmuel amar, kane ole, vikone yoreid. You have some of the schach up, and some of the schach down. Rav, tani chado, Shmuel, tani tarto. Rav says it's one case, and Shmuel says it's two cases. Rav, tani chado, there is only one case in our Mishnah, which is sukkah ha-meduvlelet, a sukkah which is nuvlelet, my-duvlelet. What is this meduvlelet? Midul-delet, from the word dal, which means poor. Shitzilta miruba mi-chamata k'shera. So meduvlelet means that it has a thinness in the schach, does not have a lot of schach. Midul-dal comes the word dal, which means poor, but also midul-dal just means hanging or straggly. So that's the nature of the schach. And the sukkah is medul dal. And so because of that, the only question that you need to answer is, tzilatam ruba mechamata. Given the thinness of the schach, do you get to the point where tzilatam ruba mechamata? And that is sufficient to render it a sukkah shera. Shmuel tani tarte. Shmuel says that there are two cases in the Mishnah. These are two separate issues. My meduvlalet. What is meduvlalet? Is mibulbelet. Mixed up. Confused. Betarte ektani. Sukkah ha mibulbelet ksheira. Sukkah that is confused, mixed up, is ksheira. This is when the schach is going in all different directions, up, down. Betzilatam rubam yichamatak ksheira. In a separate case, a separate issue totally is the thickness of the schach, the amount of schach that you have there, as long as the shade exceeds the sunlight, then it is ksheira. What exactly it means that it's mibulbelet? Rashi says that Magmar what said before, which was kane ole, kane yoreid. Rashi says, because of that, chamata miruba mitzilta. Because the different schach is going up and down, it's allowing more sunlight to pass through, which is causing it that the sukkah is now chamata miruba mitzilta. And the Mishnah tells us that if you were able to bring the schach together, and it, together, it would have been enough to make it tzilatam rubam echamata. That would be fine in terms of a sukkah ha meduvlelet. So Rashi says, as long as they're within a amount that we would put them back together, which is generally three tefachim. So if they're within three tefachim of each other, so that there is quote unquote lavud, we would assume that they are all together. And since they're all together, tzilatam rubam echamata. Now Rashi's explanation is difficult from two perspectives. First of all, the Gemara clearly says that Shmuel has two cases. He has a case of sukkah meduvlelet and tzilatam meruba mechamata. Yet Rashi says in this case of sukkah ha meduvlelet, according to Shmuel, the problem is chamata meruba mitzilta. And we say no, that it really is tzilata meruba mechamata, which makes it almost the same case or the same outcome. He could have read it as one case then, according to Shmuel. Number two is, as Tosafot points out, when the sun is shining on the schach, if the sun above the schach would be tzilatam ruba mechamata, and then as the sun moves to the sides, whether it's when it's rising or setting, then all of a sudden chamatam ruba mitzilta, because of the nature of the schach being up and down, allows the sunlight to go through on an angle, nobody's going to say that that causes it to be chamatam ruba mitzilta because it can get through the sides. But rather, Tosafot explains very simply, the schach being up or down, the distance of three tefachim between it, it's just a question if we see it as one layer of schach or two layers of schach. Is this considered to be one layer of schach, and therefore it's tzilatam ruba mechamata because it's a single layer, therefore it's a good layer of schach? Or do we say, no, they're too far apart, and therefore they're not looked at as being a single layer of schach? And that's the only question that's being addressed in that first case of Shmuel. Again, that avoids the problem of connecting it to the second part, which is Tziltam Rubam Yichamata, but also solves the problem of it not being a problem just because the sun can get through at an angle versus from on top of it midday when the sun wouldn't get through it and it would still be Tziltam Rubam Yichamata because the spacing is from the sides, not from the up and down. Right, so those are the two positions. And now we have Amar Abaye. Abaye qualifies Shmuel's statement, which is Lo Shonu El Shein Ben Zelazeh Shloshat Tfachim. That's as long as those different layers of schach are within three tefachim of each other. Rashi, who says that it's lovud and we view them together and therefore tziltam rubam mechamata, or Tosafot, who says that's considered to be one layer of schach, not two layers of schach. Vayesh ben ben zela ze gimel tefachim, if there's more than three tefachim between them, psula, then it's problematic. Amar Rava. Rava introduces a new halacha, the Moshe min Sinai, which we haven't bumped into until now in the Masechta, which is, afilu yesh ben ze leze shlosha tfachim nami. Even if there's more than three tfachim space away from each other, lo amran el she'im begago tefach. That's only true if they don't have a tefach in them. Vayesh begago tefach, if they are tefach wide, sheira. They work, damrinan chavot rami. Because we invoke this principle, this halacha the Moshe min Sinai, of chavot rami. Chavot means press down, and rami and place it there. So this is another good achit type of principle. Good achit works to replace a wall. So if you want to replace a wall, you take good achit, which takes is the face of the roof or the corner, the 90 degree angle at the corner, and says, I now extend that downward to create the mechitza. That's why they say god achit, the wall descends. But obviously over here, we're not trying to create a wall. Over here, you want the schach. You're talking about the roof itself. And in that case, the proper terminology is chavod rami, which means press it down and be level with the other schach. So that chavod, Rava says, as long as the object is a tefach wide, we invoke this principle of chavod rami, and we press it down, we have it come down to level out with the remainder of the schach. So therefore, Rava says that even if it's more than three tefachim apart, as long as it has its own tefach, we can look at the schach as if it's down with the remainder of the schach, and it's one layer of schach. The three tefachim are not relevant, it's just the width of the upper schach is what matters. We'll see that. There might be a machloket rishonim, but then we say chavot rami, and we'll see from a mishnah where that's true. So Amar Rava, mina amino lo tachiyit bei tefach amino chavot rami. Where can I prove to you, or where can I show you, that once you have a tefach wide, we invoke this principle of a chavot rami. V'chi leit bei, and if it doesn't have a tefach, lo amrino ad chavot rami. He basically wants to say, this principle of chavot rami is dependent on being a tefach wide. How do I know that? Where is the source for this principle, for this halacha, the Moshe mi Sinai? Ditnan, korot abayit va'aliyah she'en aleihem ma'ziva. You have the beams. These are, I would call the support beams, the rafters, the structural beams that are used to support the roof and to support the floor, meaning that when there is an upper level and a lower level, it's to support the floor that's there. So they have korot abayit v'aliyah, she'en aleihem maziva. So by definition, if they don't have maziva on them, they're not plastered, they also don't have the, we'll call the floorboards on them. These are just the structural beams that go across. Later on, you would lay across them, probably perpendicular to them, you would lay the floorboards, and then you would plaster them in so the floorboards made. These are the structural boards, beams that go across that would support those floorboards, or on the roof, they would support the roof. So now, behein mikuvanot, and they sit on top of each other. So I have two layers here. I have a lower house, and either it's an upper house, or it's an aliyah, or it's a second floor to the house. Between the lower level and the upper level, I have these beams that go across. They're not adjacent to each other. They're beams that go across. You don't need them right up against each other because these are not the floorboards. These are just the structural beams. You will lay the floorboards later to make it totally together. So you have these lower level, upper level, and the boards are sitting between them with gapping between them. Above, for the roof, they also have structural beams there as well that will support the roof. But they are lined up exactly. So you have beams between the two levels. And then you have a beam on top, which is lined up exactly with the beam below it. So now what's the din in that case? So this is what the Mishnah in Olot is talking about. So we know we're in Olot, we're talking about Tumat HaMeit and the spreading of Tumat HaMeit. If you have these korot, abayit v'aliyah she'en aleihem maziva v'hein mekuvanot, they're lined up. Tumat tachat achat mehem. So if there's Tumat under one of these beams, tachteh tameh. If there is Tumat underneath these beams, Then underneath the beam is Tameh, but that's it. Nothing else is Tameh. Because since the beam, we're going to assume here, is a tefach wide, since the beam is a tefach wide, it functions like an ohel. Since it's an ohel, it will spread tuma under the entire beam, but it's also chotzeitz, which means that it stops the tuma from going up. So that means that the tuma is contained under this board. It will simply ride under this board and nowhere else. It won't go to the sides because you have airspace between each side of the boards. There's airspace. So all it can do is stay along this beam, or underneath this beam, there'll be tuma. Bein tachtona le'elyona, if the tuma is found between the upper boards and the lower boards, meaning it's sitting on the lower boards, and you have the upper boards above it, then b'nehem tameh. Then between them is tameh, because, again, the roof board will make it an ohel, and it will carry the tuma under it. But the lower board will act as an ohel too, and protect the tuma from descending down below. Therefore, b'nehem tameh, but below it is not tameh, and above the upper beam also will not be tameh. Al-gabe el-yonah, if the tumah is found above the top beams, the beams of the roof, then k'negdah l'rekiyah tameh, from there upward it's tameh, because there's nothing covering it, so it'll go up to shemaim, but below it, everything will be tahor, because it's both an ohel for being mavir tumah, but it's also chotzeitz. It stops the tumah from descending. Hayu el-yonot k'ben tachtonot. What happens now, instead of it being that they are lined up, the beams, if they are not lined up, but rather alternating? That means that the beams for between the lower half of the house and the upper half, the lower floor and the upper floor, are lined up, and then above them on the roof, the empty spaces between those beams are filled in by the beams up above, the upper beams. So there's two sets of beams, the lower beams and the upper beams, but the upper beams sit in the airspace between the lower beams. Tuma tachtehen, if there's tuma under them, then tachat kulan tameh. Then under all of them, then it is tameh. This means if you have tuma on the base floor, down on the ground floor, you have tuma. We view it as if the tuma spreads through the entire house. There is no longer this idea that it stays under the beam. This is Rava's principle. The top ones are chavot rami. We bring the upper beams down to the lower beams, and now you have a complete ceiling. And so therefore, that tuma spreads.
That means the yonah should be tahor.
Yeah, the whole upper level will be tahor. That's correct. It seems like, from the way Rashi explains it later on, when we say here, chavod rami, we take the upper beams and move them down to the lower level, and that the beams are then, the roof is only on the lower level. That means the tuma is contained within the lower level. Anything above the lower beams will not be tameh. So therefore, tuma tachtehem, tachem kulam tameh. Al gabehen, if there's tuma above them, kenegdan adarakiyah tameh. The tuma is above, then the tuma goes up, because there's nothing above them except airspace.
Is it the higher level?
Both levels. Whether it's the lower level or the upper level, it's on the lower level, there's a gap between the upper level beams, so it goes up to the rakiyah. And if it's above the upper level beams, then it certainly goes to the rakiyah. But the tuma will not descend, because they're all wide enough to be an ohel, to be chotzeitz, and not let the tuma descend. Vitani Allah. And on that we have a tosefta that defines this mishnah, qualifies this mishnah, and says, b'med var mamunim, when is this true? Bezman sheyesh ben tefach, u'beneihem poteach tefach. That's only true when the beams are a tefach wide, and between them is a tefach wide. It's all about width. So the beam has to be a tefach wide, and the space between the two beams has to be a poteach tefach. We'll discuss that in a second. Well, in behem poteach tefach, if there's not a space to poteach tefach between them, tuma tachrachat mehen, if there's tuma under one of the beams, tachtea tamei, benehem v'algabehem tor. Then we're back to square one, which is only that beam. The tuma only runs along that beam, because now you do not say chavot rami. So alma, from here you conclude, that ki'id ve'tefach amrinan chavot rami. When it has a tefach of width, we invoke the principle of a chavot rami. We do not invoke the principle of chavot rami, shma mina. Now, Tosafot and Rashi here say that there are two dinim here. There's one din, which is that the board has to be a poteach tefach. The second din is that between them has to be a tefach. Why does the Mishnah require a tefach between them? Rashi and Tosafot simply say that that's a siman and not a sibah. It's just a siman that the upper beams also have to be a tefach wide. All it's telling you is that the lower beams and the upper beams have to be a tefach wide. That's it. That's the only rule.
That when they come together, they kind of...
Okay, so that you're already raising questions of the other Rishonim. According to Rashi, that's all you need. If you're a poteach tefach, we say chavot rami, no matter what the size of the space is between the other beams. Even if the other beam size between them is less than a tefach, as long as the upper beam is a tefach wide, we will invoke chavot rami. Rashi and Tosafot both agree with this. There are other Rishonim, the Ritva, for instance, suggests, no, that not only do you have to have the beam be a tefach, you have to have be the space between them be a poteach tefach in order to invoke chavot rami. In that you have to have enough space to bring down that tefach wide upper beam between the lower beams. Not only do you need a tefach of a width in the beams, you also have to have the space between the lower beams be a tefach, so that the upper beam can descend into that space and fit into that space. Now, you're saying fit in, that already raises a third shita. The third shita is that the upper beams must be able to fit into the space of the between the lower beams. That means if your upper beam is two tefach wide and the space is only one tefach wide, we will not invoke chavot rami. There's three shitot in the Rishonim. So in the first sheet, according to Rashi and Tosafot, the airspace is completely irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant are the boards. The boards must be a tefach. According to the second sheet, where the space between the lower boards must be a minimum of a tefach, meaning that the lower boards have to be a wet tefach wide, the upper boards a tefach wide, and the space between the lower boards has to be at least a tefach. Then the third sheet is that if the upper boards don't fit into the space between the lower boards, then it doesn't work. Chavot rami. Those are the three different... Right, so in Sukkah it might work. We saw the hole in Ohal Meit that we don't invoke Lavot. For the Ohal Meit, it won't help you. If the space is greater than the Chavot Rami beam, then it won't help you by Ohal Meit, because by Ohal Meit, even though we invoke Lavot, we did not say that it's as if the Ohel is complete or closed. So therefore, Ohal Meit, it won't work. By Sukkah, where we do invoke Lavot, then it would help you as long as Tzilatam Ruba Mechamata, then Chavot Rami would help you in that instance. So it happens to be that it turned out to be a machloket Shulchan Aruch and Ramah as to how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam brings that third shita, that when we only apply chavot rami when they fit between that airspace, and the Ramah paskins like that middle shita, that you require that it be a tefach up and a tefach down. Both boards have to be a tefach wide, but it has to be able to be a tefach wide between the lower boards. Lower boards have to have a space, a minimum of a tefach, in order to allow the upper boards to come down into them. Alright, so those are the three different shitot about how to read this qualification. But again, this is the source for Rava's position that a poteach tefach, we invoke this principle of chavot rami, and shlosh tefachim is no longer relevant. For up and down, when you have that type of schach, it's not relevant in terms of chavot rami. Now, v'hatanya. Don't we have a braita? The braita says, kora yotzami kotel zeh, veinu nogat bekotel zeh. This we just had in the Gemara, back on Yud Chet, where we discussed the issue of lavud, whether we say lavud from side to side to finish off the beam, or to allow you to join the two sides of the beams. Do you say only lavud from the side of the sukkah, or even in the middle of the sukkah? We brought this from Eruvin there as well, which are the korot, the korah at the end of the mavoi, which is the siman. If you have a korah, comes out of one side of the mavoi, but does not reach the other side, v'chein shtei korot, or if you have two beams coming out, one from each side, each one extending from one of the two sides, but they don't reach each other. If they're less than three tefachim apart, you do not have to bring a new korah. Or if the beam going across from one wall doesn't reach the other wall, as long as within three tefachim of the other wall, we invoke lavud, and it's fine. Shlosha, if it's more than three tefachim, you need another beam. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Pachot mi'arba'a ein tzarich lavi korah acheret." If it's less than four tefachim away, you don't have to worry about it. Arba'a tzarich lavi korah acheret. Basically, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's din of lavud is four tefachim or less than four tefachim, versus the chachamim who think it's less than three tefachim. That's the only difference in their opinion. Now, v'chein shtei korot hamat imot. You have two korot that are twins. Lo bezek kedek lekabel ariach. Neither one of them has the ability to support half a brick, but if together they can't support a brick, then we would be okay, you won't have to bring another korah. Little chazara from Eruvin, that we have a levena. A levena is a standard brick, which is three tfachim by three tfachim. Now riach is a half a levena, which makes it into a brick that is 3 by 1.5. 3 by 1.5, which is half of a standard brick, which is 3 by 3. So the requirement for a korah, by a mavoi is that it has to be wide enough to hold the ariach, to hold half brick on it. So the Gemara there says that that means it has to be a tefach wide. tefach wide to hold the brick. Even though the brick is 1.5 tefachim wide by 3, there we say that it can overlap or can extend beyond the tefach by an etzba on each side, and that'll get you to your 1.5 tefachim that you need. So it doesn't have to sit fully on the board. As long as you can place the majority, the center tefach on the board, and a little piece on each side sticks out, then you'll capture that ariyach. That is the requirement for the width of this korah. Now, in terms of strength of the korah, there that's a machloket, whether it actually has to be physically strong enough to hold up the brick, or even if it's made out of kash, as long as it is structurally wide enough to hold the brick, even though it's not physically strong enough to hold the brick, that'll be enough. That's a machloket tanaim in the Mishnah over there. So now you have these chen shtei korot, hamat imot. So these two korot, that each individually cannot hold up a brick along its width. It means that they don't have a tefach wide in them. So lo bezuka de gabel ariach, velo bezuka de gabel ariach. Im mekablot ariach lurach bo, if you can hold a ariach to its width, tefach, ein sarich lavi korah acheret, then you do not have to bring another korah. So if you have these two korot that are next to each other, if you can lay the brick sideways on them, between the two of them, if you can hold up this brick based on that, then you're fine. Vim lav, tzarich lavi a korah acheret, then you have to bring another korah. Shimon Gamliel omer, im mekablot ariach lor ko, shlosha tefachim, ein tzarich lavi korah acheret. Vim lav, tzarich lavi korah acheret. So here you have two boards that are parallel. They're on the same level. Each one individually is not wide enough to hold an ariach. It's not a tefach wide. According to the Tanakhama, if they are close enough together that they could hold up a brick, meaning they could support this brick of 1.5 tefachim wide, then you're fine. Because between the two of them, they accomplish what a single korah would accomplish. And so therefore, if they're adjacent enough that they can hold up the brick along its width, then you're fine. Shimon Gamliel has a kula, which is they can even be far enough apart that they can hold it up along its length. If they could hold up the brick on its length of 3 tefachim, then we would still allow you, right? Turning the half brick. Instead of having them to be close enough where they could hold the width, which would be much closer, we allow you to be even further apart if you could, for instance, imagine that you have a brick that's 3 tefachim along and each head of it is being held up by each korah by themselves individually. So you have a bigger space between them, and that's still allowed according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Again, still, this is not what's of interest to us. The next case is of interest to us, which is, Ayu achat amalo v'achat amato. You have two korot, one is up and one is down. They are not level with each other, as opposed to the previous cases where they are level with each other. Now we move to the point where they're no longer level with each other. So we allow you to do this, and we say that we bring them together, assuming that the upper one is not above 20 amot, and the lower one is not below 10 tefachim. So here, to get them together, we'll even say, even though they're not level, we'll do the leveling for you and say they're as if they're a level, and now if they can hold up the brick, then you're fine. Yeah, but that's only true if they're within the kosher area of a korah. The maximum level of a korah is 20 amot. The minimum level of a korah is 10 tefachim. So as long as they're within that airspace between 10 tefachim and 20 amot, we'll say they're both kosher korot, and we'll bring them together and we'll level them out. Ha, ze, veze betoch usrim. So here you see that if they're both within 20, amin and chavot rami. Af, agav, delet be tefach. We know for sure they don't have a tefach between them. How do we know they don't have a tefach? Then we wouldn't need the two korot. If any one of the korot by themselves had a tefach, they would be the korah, and you wouldn't need the other one. So the fact that we're moving them already tells you that they don't have a tefach, because we're trying to get the two of them level so that we can place a brick on them together and say, yes, it's a good korah. But how can you do that? Each one of itself is not a tefach. Rova just told us chavot rami only applies when the board is a tefach wide. Here the Mishnah is applying chavot rami even when a board is less than a tefach wide. So how does that work? So that's the question on Rova's position. You have to amend the Mishnah to read this way. There are two statements there. As long as the upper beam is not above 20 amot, then we are allowed to invoke the principle of joining them together. But that is conditioned that the lower one is within 3 tefachim of the upper beam. Right, they can only be within 3 tefachim. What Abayi described in our Mishnah before about Kaneh Lev and Kaneh Yoreid, Abayi described it as being only works when they're in 3 tefachim of each other. So Rava agrees to that principle of Abaye when they're less than a tefach. Why? That they have to be within three tefachim, and that's what basically they're creating in this Mishnah in Eruvin. Inami, bevach lo teitachtona lamata miasara, as long as the lower one is not below 10 tefachim, elo lamalo, it's above 10 tefachim, mala miasara, ve'eliona smuchala, and the upper beam is within pachol nishlosha, within three tefachim of that beam. Avos shlosha gave unto late bay tefach lo amrin al chavod rami. But if they're more than three tefachim away from each other, we will not invoke the principle of chavod rami because they themselves are not a tefach. Why? So they amend the Mishnah to read in such a way that the reason we level out these boards is because they're within three tefachim of each other. Everybody agrees to that. Abaye agrees to that. Rava agrees to that. If you're within three tefachim of each other, we're definitely going to see you as being on a single level. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. We're not saying in this Mishnah is that if you're more than three tefachim away from each other, that will level you out, because we cannot invoke chavot rami here because the beams by definition are less than a tefach wide, and they're less than a tefach wide because otherwise they wouldn't need the second korah. If they're a tefach wide already, we wouldn't need to level anything because each one individually would suffice as a korah in this case. And so that's how we answer up, and we protect that position of Rava that chavot rami only applies when the boards are a tefach wide. So here's the problem. We already had this in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. In the first Mishnah of the Masechta, we said Chamata Meruba Mitzilta is Psula. Obviously, then Silta Meruba Mechamata is Kshera. So why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that Silta Meruba Mechamata is Kshera? Right. So the question is, the Diuk out of both of them is what Joel mentioned before, that the middle case, the case where it's 50-50, is going to cause you a problem here, because each Mishnah will be dayek acheret, which is that, ha ki adodi psula. Sounds like from our Mishnah, if they were exactly equal, it would be psula. That means only when the shade exceeds this sunlight is it good. If they're exactly equal, psula. Vehatznan bi'idach pirkin, doesn't it say in the previous perek, and the other perek, meaning the first Mishnah in the Masechta, v'shechamatam ruba mitzilta psula. That only if there's more sunlight than shade is it psula. Ha? Ke'adod ikshera. If they were exactly equal, it would be ikshera. So now you have a diok from each one of these mishnayot that gives you an opposite conclusion. So lokasha, that's not a problem. Kan milamalo, kan milamato. That's above, that's below. Amara papa, hainu damre inche. This is what people say. I will read this first like Rashi, and then we'll discuss the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi says, that's what people say. Kezuza mile'el. When you have a small zuz up above, ki istaro amilatachat, it looks like a big coin down below. Rashi's point is that when light penetrates through a crack up above in the schach, it diffuses. That light diffuses to the point where if you have light coming through up above on the floor down below, it'll be wider or bigger than the amount of light that is let through at the upper level. And so the answer of the Gemara is kan milamalo, kan milamata, depends where you're measuring. Where you're measuring will matter which one is which. If you go up to the roof and you measure it to be exactly equal, then we're going to say psula. Why is it psula when they're exactly equal up top? Because if I have the shade and the sunlight be exactly equal at the top, we know that at the ground level, you're going to have more light than shade. Because of the nature of light diffusing as it comes down, you're going to actually end up with more light than shade at the base. So even if they're equal on top, it's going to cause you a problem down below, and that is psula. On the other hand, if you measure it at the floor level, and you see that the light and the shade are exactly equal, then you know for sure that the schach is thicker or more than the chama up above. Correct. If they were exactly equal, you'd have more light at the bottom. So by definition, you have more tzel than chama up top. That's the way Rashi reads this. I'm not going to get into it, but the two Rashis, in a sense, are soter each other. Because in one case, Rashi says, or the way that he defines it is, if I look at the schach above, then down below is the problem, which means that we're guided by the sunlight at the ground level. Then he comes and says, we measure the sound level, that tells me there's more schach up top, which seems to indicate that we're being guided by the amount of schach, and not what the light is at the base level. So those two Rashis are so tell themselves, and it also might relate to which Tosafot will ask here, which is, don't we paskin like Rav Papa, that parutzke omeid, that when it's exactly equal, we in Eruvin say that's considered to be as if it's omeid. When we say it's 50-50, we give you the 50-50 and say it's as if it's more covered than open. So the way Rashi is describing it over here, it'll turn out that this is against that halacha of parutzke omeid. That when you have them be exactly equal, we're not going to say that, and we're not going to invoke that principle of parutzke omeid works. And we're going to say, no, that it's not good enough over here. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a different explanation. The other reason for the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation is that he says that Rashi got the Istara wrong. He says an Istara is actually half a Zuz, not bigger than a Zuz. Okay, so now, if you do that, if you say that Kezuzah Mila'el, a Zuz above, comes down to Istara Mitachat, is a small coin down below. Now that doesn't work. But what the Rabbeinu Tam says is, and this happens to be true, is that Rabbeinu Tam says when you're standing on the ground level, looking up at the schach, when you look up a schach from the ground level, something that is as wide as a zuz will look like an istara, will look smaller to you because you're further away from it. Because you're far away from it, that gap that's a zuz up above will look to you like it's an istara, half a zuz. It'll look smaller. If you're at the level of the schach, then when you look at it, the size is the actual size that you're measuring. And therefore, that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, achat namalo and achat namata means. It depends where you are standing. If you are on the ground looking up, then you have a problem. Because if you see them as being equal, when you, the schach, looking up the schach, not looking at the ground floor on the ground itself, when you look up the schach, it looks to you like it's even, then you know you don't have good schach. Because from the ground floor, that gapping is going to look smaller than it really is. Since it looks smaller than it really does, you really have more sunlight coming in than shade. On the other hand, if you're level with the skach and you're looking at it and you see that there's more shade than light, then you're okay. So that's what it means, achad lamata and achad lamalo. When you're down below, then you look up at the skach, you cannot rely on that. So there, if it looks 50-50, you're in trouble. If you're up top and it looks 50-50, then you're fine because we pass like Rav Papa, that Parutz Kolmeid is Kolmeid Dami, and you're fine in that case. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains this Achat Damala and Achat Damata, vis-a-vis what we said before in Rashi.
So where exactly do we have to measure?
Right, so according to the Rabbeinu Tam, it is at the Schach level. The Rabbeinu Tam is consistent in both of his opinions that it's measured at the Schach level. He just says it's a question where you're standing when you're trying, but how you're measuring it, because if you're at the Schach level, you'll be fine. But if you're on the floor level trying to look up and measure the Schach, then you're going to misjudge the spacing. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's all about the schach level. Again, Rashi is soter himself about where that guide is and that the achronim take up in Rashi. It's too complicated to get into, but I just want to note that difference between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Alright. Mivuvah kemin bayit. Turn to Rabbanan. Mivuvah kemin bayit. Afobi shein kochavim nirim mitochak shira. If it's so thick, the schach, that you cannot see the stars above, it's still kshira. Ein kochvei chama nirim mitocha. If you can't see kochvei chama. Kishachama zorech hatalea. Means the rays of the sun cannot be seen through the schach. If it's that thick, Beit Shammai puslim, or Beit Hillel machshirim. Beit Shammai says it's problematic, Beit Hillel says it's kasher, and again, we paskin that it is kasher. The only time you might run into a problem is if it's so thick that it does not allow water to go through. That's the only threshold where some of the poskim do not allow it. They say it's too close to a bayit, bidi avad. Even in that case, we might let you sit in a sukha and be kasher in that instance. All right. Next Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow. Hose sukato berosh galah. Someone puts on a sukkah on top of a wagon. O berosh spina, on top of a boat. Kshera. That is fine. So now, even though both of these are moving objects, but because the sukkah that is affixed on top of them is secure and stationary, that is good enough to be considered a sukkah that is not a sukkah mitaltel, but a sukkah. Now, volin babi yom tov. And in both these instances, you're allowed to go onto it on yom tov. In that there's no restriction against going onto a boat or onto an agala on yom tov, and that's not a problem. Berosh ha'ilan o agabe gamal. You build a sukkah on the back of a camel or in a tree. Then, ksheira, the sukkah itself is fine because it's structurally sound and it can stay there. The problem is you can't go into it on Yom Tov because of Zerot Rabbanan. You're not allowed to ride an animal or climb onto an animal on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to climb onto a tree on Yom Tov. So your access is blocked from getting into the item on Yom Tov. For Chol HaMoed, it would be fine. And Rashi says on Yom Tov, if he's over the Isur de Rabbanan and goes in, he would also be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Sukkah. So that's interesting in and of itself. It might not imply anything, but here Rashi seems to say, even if you abrogate the din de Rabbonon, you still mekayim the din de Oraita. We've seen before that there are many Rishonim that believe that if the Rabbonon impose their view over here, they actually are mafkia, you're right to do the mitzvah. You could argue here that it's a separate gzeirah. The gzeirah is not on the sukkah itself. The gzeirah is about access to the sukkah. You're not allowed to climb a tree. You're not allowed to go on an animal. So therefore, maybe you could separate between the two and not draw any conclusion here. Just noting that fact. Then, the last case in the Mishnah, which happens to be a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, as to what's happening here. You have here shtein b'ilan v'achat b'de adam. You have two that are in the tree and one that is man-made. Oh, shtein b'de adam, or two that are man-made v'achat b'ilan, and one is with the tree, k'sheira. That is fine. Ve'ein olim la b'yom tov, but can't go into it on yom tov. Shalosh b'de adam, three of them are man-made v'achat b'ilan, and one is the tree, k'sheira. That is fine, v'olim la b'yom tov, and you're allowed to enter it on yom tov. Ze'aklau. Here's the principle. Kol shenital al ilan v'yichola l'amot. If you pulled out the tree and the sukkah would still stand, bifnei atzma, on its own, k'sheira. V'olim la b'yom tov, you go up on yom tov. So let's start. The first principle that we're dealing with is climbing a tree on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to utilize a tree on Yom Tov. We're afraid you're going to break off a branch. You're going to do something that would be problematic on Yom Tov or on Shabbat, the same din. So you're not allowed to access or go onto a tree or utilize a tree on Yom Tov. So now, if your sukkah is dependent on the tree, we're not going to let you go into that sukkah on Yom Tov because then you are utilizing the tree. If your sukkah is not dependent on the tree, then we'll let you go up into the sukkah, even though the sukkah is utilizing the tree. Because if you pull the tree out, it's not dependent on the tree. And that means that it stands independent of the tree, and you can go up there without violating the issur of getting into a tree. Now, we had here enumerations of some by de adam, some by de ilan. What is being done by ilan, and what is being done by de adam? So Rashi suggests over here that the sukkah is being supported. The floor of the sukkah is being supported by these pillars or trees. So when we say Shlosha b'dei adam, that means that there are three man-made pillars, and the fourth pillar is the tree. Or you have two pillars b'dei adam, and then the tree. So you clearly understand what happens here. When you only have two pillars in the tree, you pull the tree, the sukkah collapses. If you have three b'dei adam in the tree, then you're not necessarily dependent on the tree, and it can stand on its own, and that's why it'll be okay. That's the way Rashi describes it. Tosafot says, we're not talking about what's supporting the sukkah, but the walls themselves of the sukkah. How many walls are man-made, and how many walls are being given by the tree? The width of the tree is creating the tree itself is creating the wall. So, if the tree is creating the wall, how many walls of your sukkah are being utilized by the tree? So here we're talking about where the ilan is the fnota sukkah. The kanim shel sukkah nismachim al ilan. And the schach itself is sitting on the walls and the tree. So your problem no longer is the sukkah itself, but rather the schach, which is resting on the man-made walls and the trees. And our fear is, our fear is that you might put something on top of the schach, you might leave something on top of the schach, and then you'll be utilizing the tree, because the schach is resting on the tree, and it'll be the equivalent of resting on the tree, what's called tzidei ha'ilan, which is asur. If it was tzidei ha'ilan, if it was double derivative, if it was leaning on a derivative of the tree, it would have been fine. But since it's leaning directly on the tree, it's problematic. That's from the Gemara in Eirimin, why we discussed that why a hammock is mutar to hang from trees on Shabbat. It's because they're not hanging directly on the tree. They're hanging on a hook that is hanging on the tree, and that's fine. Over here, where the schach is directly leaning on the tree, if the schach is dependent on the tree to stand up, then you can't put something on the tree, because that's sidei ha'ilan, and that's asur on Yom Tov and Shabbat. So as long as the tree is integral to the support of the schach, we won't let you go into that sukkah, because you might put something on the schach. If the tree is not integral to holding up the schach, then it's fine, because even if you put something on the schach, you're not using sidei ha'ilan, because it's the man-made walls that are holding it up. Okay, we'll stop over here.